Okay, today we're having a short informal conversation with David Humphrey from Seneca College in Toronto about the Mozilla course that he's running at the college, which he offered to talk about as one of the four case studies in the open education course that we're running in the next 6 weeks. And the way this works is that we will be looking at these case studies from three different perspectives. One is open technology, one is open licensing and content, and one is open pedagogy. To start things off, I thought it would be good to have a short conversation about just what the project is, so people are familiar with the project. We don't have to go over the basics, and we can really look at those three different perspectives in detail. I guess I'd like to hand over to David with the first question. Tell us, what is this Mozilla course at Seneca?
So we got started working with Mozilla about 4 years ago on some research work, and this wasn't related to any courses we were doing, but we needed to be able to modify Firefox to do some experiments with user interface and touch devices. And so I led a team that did that work, and as part of it, we sat down and we didn't know anything about Firefox or Mozilla other than that we were users of it and we enjoyed it. And we got in touch with them and said, could we work with you guys to get some help here, because it seemed a daunting task for us to do as outsiders. And they were really helpful, and that we found out they had an office that was local to us, and we made relationships there, and we got established. And over a couple of years of doing that work, we started to realize that the process that we had just gone through of learning how to work in a large collaborative open source project, how to work on source code, the size and complexity of Mozilla's, that this was something we should be teaching our students. So I had the support of our administration here to try and experiment and to run a course where we basically took students into the community and we got them deeply engaged and working on real projects with Mozilla. And it's gone from doing that, I guess starting 3 years ago, or it'll be 4 years ago this coming fall. We've offered it multiple times, and we've also expanded it so that we now have two courses. The first course is teaching students how to get involved in sort of the practice and technology of Mozilla, and then the second course allows them to go and take work that they've begun in the first course and really polish it and get it into shippable software.
Okay. What are your plans on, are you going to continue running the course at Seneca? Are you also talking to people outside of Seneca about adopting the model maybe?
So we have a couple of fronts that we're working on. Myself personally, I've been working closely with the Mozilla Foundation for the last number of years, and one of our goals last year was to try and replicate this course that I'm teaching in other institutions. So we had dialogue with a lot of different groups, people who are interested in adopting some or all of it and making it reusable in that way. And we found that, I don't know, for a variety of reasons, that there weren't very many places that were willing to take the model as we have it here and adopt it fully. We've switched our focus this year, and one of the things that we're trying to do is engage with people so that we can virtualize what we're doing. The next time that I offer the course, one of the things that I'm going to try for the first time is letting students from anywhere in the world take it with us at the same time. Obviously, we can't give them credit for that, but we're finding that at any given school, there are two or three people, students or professors, who would be interested in doing some of this work. And so we want to remove the decision factor of, could my institution as a whole or could my class as a whole do this? And instead say, what if we tried to build critical mass by gathering individuals from around the world? So in some ways, we've taken the Mozilla project's way of working as our model of delivering the content, where Mozilla is developed by people all over the world, and there are pockets of them here and there. They're in India, they're in Singapore, they're in Australia, they're in Canada, they're in whatever country you can think of. And by aggregating those groups together and that work together, they achieve something much larger than any of those, you know, those pockets could do.
Hmm. Sounds to me, from the way you describe it, that you're really using the open source development model as a way to do education, and also that the kind of the barriers that usually exist between, you know, students are studying and they're at university, and then they leave university and they start working, and they work for companies, and usually those two there's a clear separation between the two. And what you're describing here is really the university opening up to the world, letting students from the outside even now come join this course. And I mean, that sounds like a pretty radical idea. What was the response of your institution? Are people excited about it? Are they giving you some? Are they pushing back?
Depending on the level of our administration that I'm dealing with, I hear different things. But by and large, it has been very supportive. One of the benefits of being in a college setting, so here in Canada, I teach at a college as opposed to a university, and so the distinction is that the work that we do is pragmatic and it's applied in nature, and so that has given me a little bit of flexibility where I don't have to teach some of the same curriculum that my counterparts in the universities would be teaching. And one of the difficulties I have encountered with those that have wanted to try this in the universities is that it doesn't fit into the model that they're doing, the theoretical computer science and so on. So that's been something of a benefit for me. But then beyond that, I've had institutional support from my direct bosses and up above to say, yeah, you know, this is interesting. The results of it are pretty clear. When you have students, as you say, who, you know, who are often asked to just do toy projects. One of my bosses refers to it as, you know, typically we ask a student to, we dig a hole and then ask the student to fill it in again. And, we, you know, my approach has been to not do that anymore. Basically to say, what does Mozilla have that we could get students on right now? And let's get them doing real things. So, you know, for the students, they can go out and their resume say, you know, this bit of code that I wrote, it's shipping in Firefox 3, or it's being used, it's infrastructure that's being used by Mozilla to do their build system, or, you know, on and on it goes. And so I think that has more value than any fake project that I could come up with, but it definitely shapes the way that I teach, and it changes just about everything that I know about how to teach and how to take students into a field of study.
Okay. In the Mozilla course that we are going to be doing together is about open education platforms, and platform is a broad term. What is the kind of technology platform that you're using to teach your courses? What are all the different tools that are fitting together to let people participate?
For me, because I'm working with Mozilla, my decision early on was to do things in the way that Mozilla did them. And so my goal there was to make it as easy as possible for the Mozilla community to interact with our community. And so instead of choosing what might be the best platform choice for some of these things, I chose what was most widely known and what was used by the people that I wanted to get involved with us, on the assumption that they wouldn't, there would be more resistance to having them try and learn something new than if I could use what they were already using. So, for example, we get our students using IRC, which is a real-time chat system, and it's favored by geeks and developers and so on. And that's where the core of Mozilla works. We get all of our students blogging, and we put their blogs in aggregate into a blog planet so that they, you know, they have that reach. We have all of our students working in Bugzilla, which is where Mozilla organizes its bugs and where they do their projects. We use the same wiki software that Mozilla uses so that the students can, you know, they can learn to do, you know, work with the tools, but work with it sort of on the side. And this has been an important choice for us, is that we use the same tools, but in every way that we can, we set up a parallel place that is safe for them to do the same things but not swamp the mainline community. So in other words, I don't try and get all of my students' blogs into Mozilla's blog planet, or I don't throw all of my students into their main IRC channel, because it isn't an appropriate place. But what we do is we use all of the same tools and all of the same techniques, and it allows them to easily merge into those spaces when they're ready to do it.
Hmm. That makes a lot of sense. I'm going to ask you separate to also give us a few links, maybe to background materials that you might have, which I'm going to put on the wiki so people can read through those. But did you have any other thoughts or comments that you want to make sure people are aware of before they before we start the course, kind of important background information about your particular case study?
Well, definitely, I'll put links up to some of the things that we've done and so on. I guess one of the things that I would say that has been one of the more important lessons for me as I've done this work, and I would encourage others as they're trying it as well, is that it's very common in something like Mozilla for you to try things and to fail at them, to do experiments and to constantly be iterating on something. So whether it's a piece of code that you're going to release it and it's very buggy and then you're going to improve it and you're going to get comments and you're going to work in the open, that's the way that I've tried to teach. So I teach things that I'm not an expert in, and that has been very different for me. You know, I'm not an expert on every aspect of Mozilla. I have students that are going into depths of, you know, of the code base that I don't know and so on. So one of the things I would encourage people who want to do this kind of work is to become comfortable with not knowing things and being honest. I mean, as professors, we don't like to tell our students that we don't know things. We like to construct our courses in a way that favors our knowledge and our ability to look good. But I would say that it's important to show them how to fail. It's important to show them how to get it wrong and how to use that information to guide your next step and so on. And that's been, I mean, that's the basis of the work that happens in something like Mozilla, and it's proven fruitful for me as an instructor in terms of how I teach.
Great. That's a really interesting point. Okay, thanks, David, and we'll put more information on the wiki.
Okay, thank you, Philip.